Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's Porktober. Time to celebrate our pork industry. Let's go in-depth with Dow Grooms with the Iowa Pork Producers. Well, Dal, I hear it's Porktober.
It is Porktober, Porktober 19, in fact. We're very excited to have October roll around every year. It's a great month to celebrate both pork and the people who produce pork and bring it to us.
Do you happen to know how that got started, that cutish name?
Well, I'm guessing that sometime in the back years, some advertising agency probably came up with it, but we love it because it's a great way to take a look at the month since October was designated as Pork Month many, many years ago, and we think it's a great way to remind people why it is.
Well, why is it important to celebrate pork? I know it contributes to the economy, to healthy eating, all of that.
1 in 12 Iowans actually has a job connected to pork production, whether that's on the farm or processing pork or preparing it for sale at restaurants. Somewhere in the industry, people who work at feed mills, all of those folks touch pork production and serving pork to Iowans.
1 in 12?
1 in 12.
I had no idea. Well, I guess that's why you're telling us this, is that you have to keep that information out front. I knew it was important to the economy, but I guess I didn't know it was quite that important.
Yeah, it's Iowans, you know, have had a long, long tradition of raising pork on their farms, or pigs on their farms, and as you look through the years, and you can figure out why. It's because we have really great corn and soybean production here, two important feed ingredients to the state, or to pigs, and we also have a lot of partners in the processing and retail areas.
And so what's the general status of the pork industry? There's been some hard times, I know.
Yeah, you know, we've looked at some trade issues through the past year and a half, but we're very lucky. The pork checkoff is used to go out and find new markets, and they've been able to do that. So we've, you know, strengthened our markets in some countries, such as South Korea. We've really started to delve into South America, Central America, and those areas, looking for opportunities to sell more pork. Of course, we'd always like to see China come back into the fold. We're still selling pork there, but it's sold at a much higher price because they are putting us about a 62% tariff on our product. But pork is the number one protein across the world. So there's lots of markets there, lots of people who want to have pork. And they know that U.S. pork, Iowa pork, is a good, safe product to have.
Well, and they have some trouble with some kind of disease with their pigs, right?
Right. In Southeast Asia right now, China, it kind of blew up in China. They had African swine fever that showed up in, August of last year, so more than a year ago. They've been dealing with that disease, and it is a disease, even though it kills pigs, the pork is still safe. So they can't produce as much pork as they need there because of the impact that disease has on animals.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dal Grooms with the Iowa Pork Producers. Do we have to worry about that disease? Well, of course we do.
Yes, we do have to worry about it, and the pork industry has worked very closely with USDA and U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to find ways to keep the disease out of the U.S. Of course, you have to be ever vigilant. A disease that can spread, and so we ask people who are traveling in that area of the world to be especially cautious about their biosecurity, making sure that they're either not bringing home the clothing that they wore if they were out on farms in that area, or just being very cautious and conscientious about what they're doing and following the rules and regulations that are involved with that.
it can travel through clothing?
It can, just because you can get fluid on clothing. And so if that isn't washed or cleaned, it can get over here that way. People I know who have traveled there have been very, very cautious, especially if they're pig farmers. They've come back to the United States, and their first stop on their way home is actually at a dry cleaner's to drop off everything they had, their shoes, et cetera, that they don't bring home. And in a couple of cases, I know people who just went, okay, I'm home, but now I'm not even going to go to the pig barns for a couple of weeks just to do that double check of biosecurity. It's just very, very important to be really conscientious about that.
Well, why do some producers here travel to China?
Well, because China is still a very important market to us. And so it's that long-term relationship. It's a relationship that's been building, I would guess, for about 20 or 30 years, where the U.S. Ag economy kind of looked at the folks there and knew that that population was really growing and that their economy was getting better. And we said, hey, we want those people for customers. And so we continue to build that relationship. We know that relationships are very important to the Chinese. And so it's just an ongoing effort to maintain that while we work through the trade issues that are currently involved.
Do you have any hope for those to be resolved in the near future?
Absolutely. Always hopeful. Always hopeful. You know, we've seen some really good progress. You know, it was disappointing when we lost the Mexican and Canada markets for a while because of a trade dispute or trade issues and tariff issues. That was resolved in late May this year. And so we've really seen our exports to those two countries really spike up. Japan was another trade partner that we didn't have an agreement with, but that's been inked. And so now we're just waiting for the Japanese parliament to approve it. The U.S. is all on board, and we believe they will because they're very anxious to get pork products as well as other ag commodities.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dow Grooms with the Iowa pork producers. Has it helped that former Governor Terry Branstad is now ambassador to China?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sure the governor has regular conversations with folks in China just because of his job, but also because of his long-term relationship with Xi Jinping. And so it's just a you know, those trade discussions are just a long, drawn-out process, but I think having some relationship there is not a bad thing. So we're hopeful that at some point that will be resolved.
Now, what's the future of the hog industry look like?
We actually think it looks very positive. This year we opened another packing plant here in Iowa, so that means we have one more buyer to look at our products, look at our pigs, and get those on the market. Also means there's a lot less shipping involved when we have packers here in Iowa. So we have a really positive outlook for what's going on. We know, of course, that in pig production, just like in all of agriculture, there's ups and downs. People take opportunities to manage some of their risk, and we see a lot of people doing that, and we think that's a good thing. So we're still very, very positive. Iowa does produce one-third of the nation's pork, so we think it's just a business that people are going to continue to want to be in and be involved in. I see lots of young people really interested in being involved in pork production and seeing the opportunities there.
Now, I think at the bottom, producers were losing like $18 a hog. Have we recovered from that? I mean, are they making money now?
They are right now. As with all things in the market, it ebbs and flows. I would guess as we take a closer look at harvest and what the outcome of harvest is going to be, you know, their costs are going to increase because feed costs will increase if there's a shortage of corn and soybeans. But again, if people are looking ahead and managing risk, they can weather those times.
Well, what are some of the other challenges to the industry?
Well, you know, one of the things that we are always working on is our sustainability and environmental footprint. We continue to look for ways to improve that even through the years. I know that gets into the news a lot, but through the years, Iowa pork producers have really done a lot in terms of reducing their carbon footprint. They use less water. They use less land than they used to produce the same number of pigs. They're also, I know people always kind of wrinkle their nose about the use of manure, but manure is a crop nutrient, and the amount of manure we produce in Iowa from all livestock, so that only a portion of that is pigs, but from all livestock is only enough to actually fertilize 25% of our crop acres. So we're continuously looking for ways to do better there, to have that whole carbon cycle just be a better contributor to Iowa's environment.
Now, as you mentioned sustainability, I sort of flashed back to the last legislative session, and I remember that the pork producers were, I don't know, they met some challenges. The pork industry's been really good at doing solar energy, and there was some challenge on metering.
Yeah, so on the net metering, and we were successful in holding off some moves on that. We hope to continue to be that way because we know that there are several pork producers in the state and certain areas of the state that have found that using solar energy is very beneficial to them, really reduces their outside energy costs and needs because they're producing all that energy right there on the farm. So we hope to continue that. But, you know, when you get to the legislature, it's you're never quite sure what's going to happen there. So
I don't know. It just comes as it would come as a surprise to me to for the legislature to work against against the pork industry when it's so vital to the economy. But I guess they almost did.
Yeah, almost did. So we were glad we talked to them. We had our pork producers in talking to them, and I think they kind of, you know, stepped back and took a clear look at that to see what was going on, and we continued to hope that that view holds.
Now, what else would you like to share with our listeners today that I may have forgotten to ask?
Well, you know, we always say, you know, pork is a great product. It's nutritious. It's delicious. Would really encourage them to always include pork on their plate during the week and especially during Porktober. And we do have a pork tenderloin contest, and we'll be announcing winners later this month. So if you like a pork tenderloin, there's a lot of great restaurants in Iowa that serve those, and we'd encourage you to eat those. But we just think that I'd really like to have consumers take a good look at putting pork on their plate.
Thanks to Dow Grooms for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.